DJ Cramp.
Hello, you're listening to Rock and or Roll, and this is going to be the third part now in a trilogy of Rock and Pod Expo related episodes, and I didn't know it was going to be a trilogy, but in the aftermath of the Rock and Pod Expo, some really entertaining podcast material has turned up, and I got permission from Michael Butler to make an episode of my own out of some of it, and I think it's really entertaining, and maybe some of you out there listening might enjoy hearing it, so I thought I would make an episode out of it. What happened is Michael Butler from the Rock and Roll Geek Show recorded an episode with a listener of the Rock and Roll Geek Show. He recorded it at the Rock and Pod Expo, and when he released it, the shit kind of hit the fan because a lot of us that were involved in the expo were offended by what he said, just because of the way he portrayed the expo in a negative light when it was such a great time had by all. Now here's the thing, Michael Butler has been doing his podcast, The Rock and Roll Geek Show, for a long time. He used to have another show called Good Clean Fun with Jasper, and he does this show called Mad at Dad with Dave Slusher. You can go listen to my episode number 31. Way back on episode 31, I had Michael Butler on, and we talked about his podcast war with the Classic Metal Show. We talked about him being fired from his band live on Good Clean Fun. I played clips on that episode I did with Michael Butler. I played clips of all that stuff. Highly, highly entertaining. So in retrospect, it shouldn't really be a surprise that similar events occurred when Michael Butler came to the Rock and Roll, the Rock and Pod Expo. So, what I'm going to do on this episode is the first thing you're going to hear are the short clips from the episode that Michael Butler recorded at the expo with his listener, some douchebag who I'm not even going to name, and you'll hear what they said that bothered those of us that put so much blood, sweat, and tears into making the expo happen. So you'll hear what they said that we took offense to, not that we took it personally, we took offense to it because it could potentially harm the expo that we want to continue in the future. That's sort of the point of view we're coming at it from, is protecting the reputation and the image of the Rock and Pod Expo that we put so much into making happen, and we don't want it to be portrayed the way it was portrayed. You will hear what they said that we didn't like. It's not very long. That's the first thing you'll hear. Then you'll hear what Michael Butler recorded with Dave Slusher and Jasper on a Mad at Dad podcast, responding to me, mainly me and Chris Sinzak, being upset with him over what he said on his podcast and him not understanding why we're upset about what he said. But you will have already heard what he said, so you'll know what he said that we're upset about. And as he is confused as to why we're upset, you will have already heard why we're upset. That's what you're going to hear first, right now.
I find it, I've been around other podcast conventions or conventions where podcasts, and I never get along with these guys because I think most of them take themselves way too seriously.
They think that they're stars.
Yes.
We're gonna sit in the podcast, in the Rock and Pod Expo, and our fans are going to be here. And there's going to be so many fans here. I'm going to be signing autographs.
Yeah, charge for them. $5 an autograph, you know.
And then what it turns out is everybody's sitting around wondering, hoping they're going to be recognized.
So that's what they said that we didn't like. Now you're going to hear Michael Butler, Dave Slusher, and Jasper, who used to be Michael Butler's host on Good Clean Fun. These are three guys that I've listened to for a long time, and they've done a lot of great podcasts, and I've enjoyed a lot of stuff they've done over the years. You're going to get to hear these three guys talk about me a lot, so it's pretty funny. And then after that episode, I listened to that and I recorded a response to it. So after their first episode, you'll get to hear the next episode they did where they play my response and talk back to it. So I think this will be fun to listen to. I've edited unnecessary bits out, maybe where they insulted some other podcasters, that there's no reason to air that stuff again. There's multiple podcasters who were at the expo that are not very happy with Michael Butler, but I cut that stuff out because there's no reason to have anybody else listen to it who hasn't already heard it. So it's just the stuff about Michael Butler being confused about why we're mad, and, well, you'll hear him go on and on and on about the table situation. I think it's all very entertaining. So I gotta, this intro is going on too long, so just check it out. This is the first episode of Mad at Dad where they're confused about why we're mad, then I explain why we're mad, and then they talk back to the recording of me explaining why we're mad.
I was very nice to everybody. Everybody I was nice to.
Did you go over what the aftermath was already?
No, I haven't gone over it.
Okay. Just to answer my question, does this person listen to your show, The Decibel Geek?
I thought he did.
I'm curious if you know, because he knows you have said some of these things that we're going to talk about years ago, like before I even moved to Austin, like in 2005, the word circle jerk in reference to podcasts just came out of your mouth.
Yeah, I read it.
Jasper, did you have a chance to listen to the offending show?
I did today. Yeah, me and Noel did, actually. Noel's a huge fan, Mike. So, but yeah, Noel was laughing her ass off. But yeah,
I listened to
39-minute David Brewington from the Borough.
Yeah, I listened to it today, too. I had not heard it before today. So I was kind of like watching the aftermath happen without having heard it. So
I don't want to get that far yet.
I did listen to the remorseful one that Danny Borden told me about with the crickets. I listened to that one first.
It was pathetic. I know. It was pathetic and embarrassing.
And I haven't heard that one. So
it's great. It's great, dude.
It's pathetic. It is pathetic.
Is it Butler falling on his sword?
I groveled.
He really did go to a place where I didn't fucking expect him to go, especially after the phone conversation we heard. I had with him
it's
yesterday.
It's a place that after the continued fall, by the way, the fallout didn't end. When I was fishing yesterday in the kayak in Jacksonville, Florida, I was on the water fishing. I got fucking instant messages on Facebook continuing to tell me how much of an asshole I am.
Yeah, let me say this too about the thing. It's like you're apologizing to a sponsor.
Yes, exactly.
Like I'm a radio guy apologizing so you get a sponsor back so you can have your job.
So
or
I keep my job as a rock podcaster.
Let's get to the nuts and bolts. Are you trying to preserve your ability to go back next year? Because there's not going to be a next year.
No, right?
I think we're moving forward. So let's let Mike just jump back. Go ahead. I was just curious if this person heard your show before, because I was just very surprised about some certain things. So go ahead, friend.
So I met Chris Sinzak in the lobby of the hotel. We chatted for a while. I thanked him profusely for having me out here. I thank you so much for having me out. It's really thank you for thinking of me. I really appreciate you doing this. And this is quite the undertaking you're putting on. I hope it goes well. And this is really cool, this thing you're doing. And thanks for putting on this pre-show, because he booked this pre-show. He booked the headliner specifically because he knew that I liked this headliner. This band called The Tip from Nashville. So he put on this pre-show. I thanked him for doing the pre-show. He said, "You coming to the pre-show?" I said, "Hell yeah, I'm coming. I love The Tip. I want to see him and this and that and blah, blah, blah." And I saw a few of these podcasters. I met some of the podcasters. I took a picture of two of the guys, and I posted them on Facebook, and Jasper saw that picture. Yeah. All I said was, "These guys host this show." And I let the comments do what they would do. I did not say a thing. And so I went to the pre-show thing. I don't remember anybody going actually into the place to watch the band. I'm probably wrong, but I do know for a fact that none of these podcasters stayed until the end of that show. But I did. As a matter of fact, I stood in the front and watched the entire show from start to finish until that place closed. The opener was a Bad Company cover band, which they were great, which I was not expecting a Bad Company cover band to be great, but they were great. This metal band, Denman, not really my thing, but they were good at what they did. And then The Tip, who I like a lot, even though the guitar player didn't fit. I stayed for the entire time. Most of the podcasters that I met there didn't even pay to get in. They stood outside because there was two sides of the bar. One half of the bar you could drink, and the other half you had to pay $5 to get in. And I don't remember seeing.
And that money goes to the band. That's
so right. I'm pretty sure.
Did not want to support the band.
I can't say that for a fact, but I'm assuming it goes to the band.
Yeah, so maybe that would be nice to support the band.
Yeah. But I think probably some of them went in and saw, but I think they all left early. And Chris Sinzak did a great job putting on that pre-show party because the place was packed. So then Sunday morning, and when I met the podcasters in the lobby, one of the guys who does the Cheap Trick podcast, said he pulled out this piece of paper and showed me the seating chart of where everybody's table was. He goes, look, your table's right next to mine. I made it like that purposely so we could all hang out together. I said, great, that sounds great. I can't wait. So he said everybody had a table assigned. So Saturday, and the thing starts at 11 a.m. So I figured I don't need to be there at that early. I'll show up about 10:45, because nobody's going to be there to see me except the few people who paid to co-host the show. So I'll show up 11:45. It takes me 5 minutes to set up, and everything will be great. So I get there. Everybody's all set up. They got signs behind their tables, big banners, merchandise for sale, everything. I said, oh, hey, looks pretty good in here. There's lots of record vendors. They had some cool records. And I said, where's my table? Oh, look, there's no tables available. There's no tables. They're all taken.
Because you're the last one there, so you didn't grab one from the pool? Is that the deal? Or
I guess everybody staked their claim, and there turned out not to be enough tables. But
Let me interrupt, man, because you just said that you did have a table the map that the Cheap Trick podcaster made.
According to the map that I saw, everybody had their own table assigned.
So couldn't you find the table that was on the piece of paper and say, hey, this is my table according to the program?
Yes.
I'm going to guess you lost a game of musical chairs.
Exactly.
By being the last one there.
Exactly.
But still, it was on the program, so you could have said something. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here and say you could have.
What I did was I went to Chris Sinzak, the guy who put the thing on, who did a great job putting this thing on. He did it pretty much single-handedly, which I told him over and over again, this is a great job you did here. Thank you again for putting this thing on. I even told him afterwards. So I said, hey, Chris, where's my table? Oh, we were short on tables. Okay, where am I going to sit? Because, oh, you can sit here. There's a spot here at the end of this table. So I go to sit at the – so I'm sharing a table with somebody at the end. I start to put my stuff there, and people are walking through – podcasters are having to use the bathroom, and they're walking – guess where they had to walk to use the bathroom? And they're all saying, excuse me, can you get up and let me through? So I'm standing up, sit down, stand up, sit down. I go, this ain't going to work. And I walked up to Chris, and I said, Chris, this ain't going to work here. I thank you for inviting me. I appreciate what you did, but it looks like there's no room for me here. I'm just going to go, okay? No, don't. We'll find you a table. Here's a spot over here. So he moved me to this other spot, which was sharing a table with this other guy.
I'm gonna step on Mike right now. Yeah. So Dave, this is classic Michael, man. Like we South by Southwest a few years ago, we'd hang out and he's like, I gotta piss. I guess I'm just gonna piss my pants. I can't find a place. I guess I'm gonna piss my pants. I'm gonna take my toys and go home. So like Michael Butler moment.
It certainly does fit with the Butler narrative.
You're saying
I'm gonna piss my pants. I'm just gonna piss my pants right here. I'm gonna take my toys and go home. Oh, no table. Okay, I'm going.
Now,
I'm going.
For the timetable. Now you said the thing was supposed to start at noon. Is that right?
So
11.
11.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got there at when?
I got there at 10:45.
10:45. Okay. So you're right there ahead of time. But everybody got there at whatever 9:30.
They probably got there at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, Jasper, I was probably passive aggressive.
I think we can eliminate Pat probably from
Okay, but what would you have done? What would you have done?
I don't know.
Probably exactly the same thing
what
you did.
What should I have done?
No, say, no, hey, yeah, like blocking toilet stalls, you know, hey, this is what we can do for you. That's a little annoying. Yeah, sure. Okay. But I don't know if I would have taken my toys and went home. But I don't know, friend. Yeah,
I don't know that I would have said I'm just gonna go.
You're right. I should not have said that.
But I would have said, can we not find one thing? Can we not find a small table or a fucking little round
you
table
are
somewhere?
Absolutely right.
Any goddamn anything like a. Can we not find a couple milk crates? That
I
we
was
put
in the.
Like,
I was in the wrong. But here's one thing that made me pissed off. There was actually two podcasters there that did two shows that combined with these two podcasters who were sitting right next to each other, they did four shows. So two guys had four tables. Okay.
I'm with you. They could have given up a table.
Exactly. Nobody offered to move over at all. Everybody was like, you got here late. Fuck you. You lose. I'm not giving up my spot. So he moved me to this other table, which was sharing with this other podcast. There was one chair. I said, I have to interview some people. Can I get another chair? And he goes, no, I need the rest of this table for my show. He goes, if you need more than one chair, this ain't going to work here. So again, I have to get up and move. And so I go to Chris. I go, Chris, there's no room at this table. This guy won't let me sit at his table because he needs this whole table to himself. He goes, so what am I going to do? And I said, listen, you're busy. There's no tables here for me. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go. I said it again.
Yet again.
So he finds. So I walk outside to cool off, to walk it off. I'm feeling fucking disrespected. I'm feeling like I'm being shit upon. I felt like I was just being royally fucked.
Now let us just say, in fairness to Michael Butler, when there's a published seating chart of the tables, they know how many tables they need.
Yeah. Chris said, turns out we were one table short.
Right. And so one table short, and when multiple people have more excess tables, would not have been unreasonable to say, you two guys, can you spread this out on three tables instead of four tables?
Should I have done that?
No, you should not have. That should be Chris Slezlik's next job.
So,
I'm with Dave.
That's his job.
I'm with Dave. Organizer should have stepped up to the plate and said, hey, you know, one show or whatever, two shows, two tables, you're one guy. Like, so, let's just let this other guy have, like, you know, one of your four tables or whatever, two tables for the two dudes.
The last guy in gets no table or is the fucking man without a country who gets bounced around like some kind of exile at sea. That's not reasonable.
Right. Okay. So let me.
I don't think that's reasonable.
Here's how the place was set up. On the center of the room were the podcasters. On the outside perimeter were vendors. There were record vendors. There was a Kiss coffin that was on display with a big sign that said "Do not touch the Kiss coffin." And there was a stage, and there was some chairs for the audience to watch the podcast being done from the stage. All right.
Okay.
So I walk back in after I've walked it off and calmed down a little bit. Chris finally says, we got you a table. He pulls this big table that's all shredded, and which I don't care if it's a shredded table, if it's a trash table. So he puts it in the last row of the audience. Okay. Like behind the back row of the audience, like I'm sitting at the table watching the people on stage doing. So I'm doing my show, watching the people on the stage. I mean, he butted it against the back of the last row.
Now, once he has a physical table, why can't he put it in the spot that's assigned to you, next to the Cheap Trick?
Because they were all taken.
That's what I keep coming back to as well, Dave.
But they had so they had a seating chart. Now they got a so they filled in the seating chart without you.
Exactly.
But they can't put you in there?
No.
That's the part that makes no sense.
No, there
to
was
me.
No room in there for me.
Why? But even if they didn't have the physical table, wasn't there a big hole where you should have been?
No, that was taken up by somebody's banner. Four of those tables were taken up with paraphernalia and banners and said podcasts stuff.
All right, so
and they didn't want to move their stuff. And they were not asked to move their stuff. Yeah,
you are well within your rights to be pissed off.
Okay,
this is bullshit.
So my table got stuck in the last row of the audience, butted against. So I'm going to be sitting at the table watching the stage. All the other podcasts are in the podcast zone. I'm in the back of the audience. So as soon as he put that table there, some large, lovely woman puts all of her stuff on the table and starts taking pictures of the stage. So this person took my table.
Now, bear in mind, too, this is not going to go any other way, right? This is the prototypical butler scenario.
What I told you, I think, on the Matt at Dad before we left was I'd probably be sitting in the corner staring at the walls.
Yes.
Because I'm introverted and shy and a loser.
However, actually sitting in the audience looking at the stage.
I not know. No, at this point, when this large, lovely woman sat her stuff down there and I looked at her and I said, really, Chris? You're putting me in the back row of the audience? This ain't going to work. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Are those the words?
Yes.
All right.
So he finally slid it in front of the Kiss coffin. He said, will this, and he's getting pissed off now. And he goes, will this work for you? Like I'm being a diva. Because none of these spots were acceptable for me. I said, that works perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay?
So already we're getting a level of detail that is not like in the little thread. We don't have any of this backstory. There's a lot of backstory.
I did not talk about this on any of the podcasts that I recorded. I alluded to not having a table, but I didn't talk about it in detail.
Right. But I'm saying that like when Chris is mad at you about whatever you said, it's not out of nowhere. It's also post this, right?
It's post this. So I finally got my table. I got my stuff set up. I'm fine. Everything is fine from there. I'm still a little bit bent out of shape from the ordeal I just had to go through. By then, it's noon. It's an hour later by then. And I'm sitting right next to the stage, and all these podcasts were doing their show from the stage. They had big round tables. You've seen panels. You've seen podcast panels.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all doing their show, and they're all guffawing and laughing at their jokes, and they're all funny and this and that and this and that. All right?
Okay.
And I'm right next to the stage. Right next to the fucking stage where it's loud as shit.
Did you record a single show from that place?
I recorded four.
You recorded four. So could you hear all those things? Like any, was there interruptions? In
my wife just walked in.
Interruptions and the wife walks in. And this one.
What'd you say, Jasper?
So were there interruptions? He's like, my wife just walked in. I said, were there interruptions in the recordings that you did?
Oh, yeah.
Like
because
this place where you said like it was louder. Like,
it got really loud. I had to do some pausing, yes.
Sure,
okay.
I wouldn't even have bothered with that. It just sounds like it was
this real. Oh, she heard you yell. Oh,
yeah,
fuck.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, close the door.
She heard your voice had a certain pitch and she walked in to see what's going on.
Yeah. All right. So the first podcaster of the day is, the first podcaster of the day is Michael Street. I recorded that episode, have not posted it yet. I figured because I figured that I would save Michael Street because maybe there were things that were said on the Michael Street that could be construed, that could piss some people off. So I
well, thank God you avoided that.
Totally, Dave.
So I listened to David Brewington. It sounded entertaining to me. I thought it was entertaining. I don't know. It sounded not boring. Maybe it was boring. I don't know. I didn't hear anything really bad. All I heard bad was me calling myself a loser.
On that podcast, you didn't call anyone out. You know, you may have like made some generalizations, but I don't think you said anything to the effect of it was a waste of your time. You know,
this is the part I've been waiting to get to. Yeah. This is because I got serious strong feelings about this, right?
All right, well, hold on. I'll get to all that because we haven't got to when I was called out. So I did my shows. As a matter of fact, on the shows, I said, I'm having a good time at this thing. On the Talking Metal one, I said, I'm having a pretty good time at this thing. How about you, Mark? You having a good time? And he said, yeah, it's pretty fun. And after the show, I went up to Chris. I even came on Joey Rock and Roll's podcast. He asked me on. I was very, very not permanent. Pardon me, I'm burping. I was very nice. I went up to Chris and after the show and thanked him again. And I thought the show was fun. I had a blast. Thanks again. You did a really good job putting this thing on. Kudos to you for doing this by yourself. Chatted with him, talked for a while. BJ Cramp, talked to him for a while. We were supposed to get on stage and do the Cheap Trick podcast, which I wasn't crazy about being on stage at all. And he goes, oh, we're not going to do the Cheap Trick podcast. Can you do the Rock and Roll Geek Show from the stage? And I said, no, I'm not going to do my show from the stage. I feel stupid doing the show from the stage. I'm not a dancing bear. No, thank you. So I politely declined, or impolitely declined, however way you want to look at it.
Now, wait, hold on one second. Had you done the show from the stage, do you think things would go differently? Do you feel like you're not playing ball at this point?
No, I think it would have been the same. Because okay.
No one invited you on their show, you know, so it was, I don't know if it was a two-way thing. I don't know where this went south, like where exactly this went south with like between the personalities.
Maybe they were mad that I didn't invite other podcasters on my show. Maybe that
was everyone else doing it and you weren't falling in line.
Everybody else was having other podcasters on their show.
Oh, shit. That is a circle jerk.
You've already done four episodes, right?
Yes, I did four. I did, and three of those episodes were hour-long episodes, or close to it.
They're booked, and they're booked, too. You sound like you're booked.
Yes.
You booked it with the guys that helped you get there.
Except you're not. You're just going outside of the same pool of everybody else. You're dancing with who brung you.
I was fucking exhausted. What am I going to ask other podcasters? I don't listen to I've said it a million times. I do not listen to music podcasts. I'm not part of the fucking podcast game. I'm just a guy who does a fucking podcast. I'm not a part of any community.
Well, you don't gotta like listen to the shows, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out. I called you the other day. My first question was, because this Desperately Geek guy, I'm trying to like find out who it is. But like my question was, has he heard your show? Because everything you said, I've heard you say on old shows, like old shows, like from, more than 5 years ago, you know, more than 5 years ago, you know, way more. So I've heard you say all these things. And then in addition to that, like you said, you don't want to be on other podcasters' podcasts because you don't listen to their show or have them on your show, vice versa. But, you know. Yeah. You make friends with podcasters. You know, here we are, me, you, and Dave, all podcasters that met each other through podcasting. I can't say I probably maybe listened to one and a half of Dave's shows total. I used to listen to yours all the time, and I don't listen to any podcasts at all anymore. But what I'm getting at is, you know, it sounds like you were an outsider in the fact that I don't know if anyone listens to your show or they just didn't approach you or they don't communicate with you. You know, maybe you're just not social enough. I don't know, man.
I don't listen to their shows. They don't listen to mine. I figure, okay. Well, first of
that's,
all.
Now, that's a key point there, Mike, because everything that I heard on the David Brewington episode was exactly what I would expect from the Michael Butler brand, from the Rock and Roll Geek Show. You didn't say anything at all surprising to anybody familiar with your work.
We have always made fun of Morning Zoo podcast. Jasper and I did. Dave Slusher and I do. It's funny. It's fun to make fun of podcasts like that.
It's
we have been giving shit. We've been giving shit to our other Dog Days podcasters. We were just talking about that. How we're the only two that give shit. Everybody else is supportive, and we're the two dicks making fun of everybody else.
It's entertainment, man. You know what I mean? Like, it, sure, it's funny to make fun of people. You know what I mean? Like, don't get your feelings hurt so hard, so easily, you know, man?
First of all, no podcasters asked if they could come on. The only one that did was Talking Metal, and he donated in order to come on. Which I probably shouldn't have. I should have probably turned down his donation. But hey, donation's a donation.
Sure.
So and now let's get into this, man. So I listened to the whole thing, and I was listening knowing that this caused a big controversy. So I'm listening for the things that will be controversial and that will make people mad. And I didn't fucking hear it. Right. So now having Jasper on actually really drives us home. So me and Jasper are the two podcasters who have taken more of your shit than anyone, right?
Look at the trifecta here.
I'm just
as a guy who have consistently weeks on it, you know, for years at a time, every week we get on and we take some form of abuse from you.
But I consider
those guys are being pussies.
What made him mad? Let's try to figure out the bullet points of what pissed somebody off, man.
You said. So you had one stretch there where you were kind of not into, you were visibly, audibly not into the jam session. You're saying you wish you couldn't do it.
Yes,
you wish you would get called off.
There was going to be a jam session on stage. We're all going to play music on stage together, which I said I would play. Mm-hmm. But I said on the show, I'm hoping this jam session doesn't happen because it's going to be at 10:45 at night. And by then, and the vendors were all leaving at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Did it happen?
I didn't want to hang out till 10:45 at night at the jam session. We left. Me and the metal and the Talking Metal guys went out to eat at the place. Then we heard that the jam session probably wasn't going to happen. Then we found out it was happening. So two of us walked back in there to prepare for the jam session. I get there. The band is – there's people up on stage jamming. I didn't have a bass. The guy was going to let me use his bass, but it was a necklace. It was like super high up and a goofy-looking bass. I didn't want to get up there and play a goofy-looking bass, all right?
If there's one thing Michael Butler cares about, it's how the goddamn bass – you care more about how the bass looks than how it sounds.
Well, fucking a headstock is very important, Dave.
Well, first of all, anyway, so I was tired. The only reason I didn't want to do the jam is I was tired.
I'm thinking about this episode you did with Dave Brewington. He was saying everything you were saying, like, and you were like, you know, kind of shooting the shit with him about a Kiss, you know, all these podcasters doing, like, how many Kiss podcasts there were. Like, hey, I got an idea for a podcast. I'm going to do a Kiss podcast. When there's already Kiss podcasts out there, like, there's no originality being, like, you know, focused on as far as, like, new things. It's like all these movie remakes that are happening. Like, it's like, you were observing. You weren't taking jabs at anybody. I don't feel like.
I need to know what it is they're mad about because I can't tell.
Well, that is what made them mad. I insinuated that they were all losers and that I was better than them. And I didn't even say loser. The only one I called a loser was myself. Since the gloves are off,
No, don't dig yourself in deeper. But seriously,
fuck it.
I did not say anything that would hurt anyone's feelings unless they were extremely sensitive about that already.
I'm sorry, Mike, man, but what I got was he said that it sounds like it was a waste of your time. Is that all he said that they had a problem with?
Well,
it sounds like we wasted your time and you, cause you didn't say that.
That is what Chris said on a private message.
Okay.
And it really bummed me. I said, where did you get that from? I had a great time. You did a great job putting this thing on. I had a blast. What are you talking about? You are so wrong. And he goes, well, I guess we have a difference. I guess I must have been mistaken. So then the next day, I listened back to that podcast again. And I didn't hear anything. The only thing I heard was me putting myself down. And I texted him again and said, hey, man, I listened. I didn't really think there was anything bad. I hope you're not still mad at me. And he goes, I'll listen to your apology episode. Thank you. But I'm not the only one who's upset. And I guess you calling all the podcasters a bunch of losers, I guess that's just peachy.
Oh, man.
So I would say at this point, just like going forward, this is not – don't worry about
– this is not it. It's not over yet.
Don't repair anything.
It's not over yet.
What I'm saying is don't worry about repairing anything.
I'm not worried about
repairing
it.
Ships have sailed.
I'm not worried about repairing it.
You're not going back. There won't be year two because I guarantee they lost money on it. They're not going to do it again.
So after my apology, no, we don't accept your apology. I get the feeling Michael Butler thinks he's better than us. He was an asshole on Friday night. He was an asshole the entire time at that expo. I think the guy is bipolar.
Who said that?
BJ Cramp!
So.
Your wife's going to come in again, man. Settle down.
The guy who
BJ,
I thought
by the way, is BJ, and you thought you were having a nice time with BJ.
Yes! I thought the guy was my friend. I thought the guy was a friend of mine. I never said anything, which, by the way, BJ Cramp was one of the two guys that had four tables.
So, all right. So, you're not going back on the unspeakable cheap.
I'd go back anytime. I'd go back anytime.
So,
because I like Cheap Trick.
Honestly, like when you get into these kinds of things, the best thing to do is just. Cut bait, man. You're a fisherman. Cut bait.
So, I'm out fishing. BJ Cramp is still fucking private messaging me, telling me I'm an asshole. I said, dude, on the Facebook fucking post, I said, BJ, you got a problem with me? Call me. Here's my phone number. I put my fucking cell phone number on the fucking Facebook. Call me.
Wait. Isn't that Facebook post with the two dudes? Or is it a different one?
No, I made a post, a sarcastic post.
There was a public post.
I made a public apology that said,
oh, shit.
I would like to officially apologize for any podcasters who I unwittingly offended. You are talented, good-looking, and funny.
So I read your apology there. I haven't listened to your apology episode, but I listened to the offending episode. You haven't done anything wrong. I think you should just stop right now. The end. Don't apologize to BJ anymore.
I'm going to
let him be as mad as he wants to be.
Are you done listening to my story? Would you want me to stop the story?
Keep going with the story, but I'm telling you, don't worry about BJ.
I'm shunned from the rock podcast community, which boo fucking who. Boo fucking who. I'm shunned from the fucking rock podcast community, which, by the way, two people, including me, looked anything close to even resembling, a total of three people, including me, looked close to anything resembling any guy that has anything to do with rock and roll.
Oh, I know. I mean, I could just see. I'm just crying.
So there was a podcast.
I love the color commentary.
So there was a podcast. We did a roundtable when this thing was announced to try to get people that we were all supposed to post on our shows.
I heard a second opinion about – you're going to talk about this, but the thing I heard was from one of a mutual friend was – you uttered maybe three sentences.
Exactly.
How many hosts were there, including you?
There were probably about 15 other hosts on that thing.
Okay. Everyone's laughing at each other's jokes.
Exactly.
And it was unlistenable.
Exactly.
I tried to listen.
Exactly.
So you can vouch as well.
Before this thing hit record, I was embarrassed. Does that mean I think I'm better than everybody? No. I'm thinking, how am I going to put this on my feed and make people entertained by this? So I sat there and didn't talk. I felt out of place. I didn't feel better than anybody. I just felt out of place.
I've been out of the podcasting game, man. So podcasting is not getting better. Independent podcasting is not getting better. It's getting worse. Yes? Is that what's going on? Like these guys are.
So,
do they have great ideas like they had, like, I don't know, say in like 2005 or 2006, where it like kind of was something new, or they're just they have great audio or what?
I don't know. I don't listen. I don't listen to any of their shows. I don't know.
They're still sensitive, though. We know those.
So on this episode that Dave Slusher said was unlistenable, They're all joking, laughing. And one particular podcast, which I don't know who it was. I'm not calling anybody out by name because I don't know who it was.
Are these guys all friends?
Yeah.
And how about in this like Circle Jerk like podcast?
Oh,
group,
you mean at
roundtable podcast?
Well, apparently. Apparently. Yeah, because of what BJ because BJ Cramp said, I don't know why you went to this thing. He goes, what? And I said, the reason I went because I was invited. And I wanted to see my friends, BJ Cramp, Ken Mills, and Joy Rock and Roll, and the Talking Metal guys. So I know all of everybody there was my friend, and I went there to meet up with my friends, and it was a love fest. Great. It was a love fest. That's great. Have a sit. And I said, dude, I'm fishing right now. Why are you texting me when I'm fishing? If you got a problem with me, again, call me. He didn't fucking call me. So back to this, the round table we had to gather money for the GoFundMe.
Oh, that's what that was. So it was for a cause. Okay, got it.
I was trying to get everybody to donate. Everybody was going to say what they're offering up as perks. It's like a Pledge Music type thing. You know,
okay.
Whatever. Hey, if you donate this money, this much, you can co-host my show. You donate this much, you can request a song on the KISS podcast. You donate this much, and you can whatever. Something like that. So go ahead.
There's a thing you didn't say, which is, what was the attendance like at this thing?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
So I don't remember which podcast it was, and it doesn't really matter, but I think there were more than one. I think all of them, as a matter of fact, that were on that round table were saying, we can't wait to meet our fans. We're going to be signing autographs for our fans.
Okay, let me cut in. I'm going to play you the offending clip. The only time that autographs were mentioned on this promotional episode for the expo that Michael Butler is talking about.
Basically, everybody that's on the list is going to be part of these shirts. So you're going to be able to get them. One gentleman asked if people would sign the shirts for them as well. And I think that could be done too, right, guys?
Yeah, but you'd wreck a shirt.
I think everybody thought was going to happen. That everybody's going to be sitting around signing autographs, and there's going to be lines at their table with fans waiting to get shit signed and selling merch. And in reality, nobody's selling anything, and we're all just podcasters here. They got bent out of fucking shape because of that. So
that probably is the thing that set them off.
Yes.
So If you were walking in off the street, was there an attendant? There a fee?
Yes.
How much was that?
I'm
going
to guess the attendance was 70 people. I'm going to guess 70 people might have paid.
That's like $20 a piece, something like that. $10 a piece.
I don't know how much it was to get in.
The rest that of the seems people, about like what I would expect.
The rest
so you
of
had
the
how many people? How many people were behind tables?
Well,
about
it was the room was packed because there were a lot of podcasters, a lot of vendors, and there were some.
So the capacity was nice. It looked like it was a success.
Yes, it did. There were some celebrities there, and they were doing signings and stuff like that. Like the guy from Tora Tora was there.
So basically, though, the pool of money that you're getting, like the pool of people who are buying merch, buying vendor stuff, approximately 70 people. So, and then the rest of the money is coming from each other, right?
Didn't crack 100 though. Yes. Is that what you're saying here?
I don't know.
I mean, it could have been. It
looked well attended. The thing I've considered the thing a success. I thought it was great. Now I never will be invited back. I guarantee you if there is another one, I will not be invited back. And after this episode, after I said everything I just said, I definitely will not be invited back on the Cheap Trick podcast. BJ Krant will probably send me a fucking shit bomb in the mail. Everybody's going to hate me. But fuck you all. Fuck you thin-skinned fucking pussies.
Dude, you actually didn't have to do that. You know, you could have totally taken the high road and I'd have been the hitman for you. But I was offering that to you, and you refused to take it.
You're going
to
ban me from the rock podcast community? I apologize. I groveled in the fucking woods like a fucking pathetic pussy, and you didn't accept my apology, so fuck you.
Well, there's no need for a bunch of middle-aged men to have this level of psychodrama about a fucking event that everyone enjoyed.
This, we had a great time. I had a great time. This is podcasting. This ain't no fucking rock star celebrity fest. I had a good time. This is fucking podcast. Grow some fucking skin. You can make fun of me all you want in your podcast. I will laugh about it.
Seriously, don't worry. It's time to heal, Michael Butler.
Thank you for inviting me. I had a great time. Thank you for inviting me. I'm sorry I spoke my mind at a podcast convention.
Slash record show.
with almost
slash
you know.
Celebrity signings featuring the guys from Tora Tora.
Nelson and Mark Slaughter, you said too?
Yeah, Mark Slaughter and Nelson were there, yes.
Whoops.
So I applaud the ambition of these guys to put this on.
Are you drinking, Jasper? Are you drinking right
and
now?
That's...
Dude, I've been drinking all day. I'm sorry if I sound that way.
No, I'm just asking what your drink is.
I stopped. I had to stop, man. Yeah,
I gotta open another beer. I'm sweating.
I had the whole day off.
I applaud the ambition, but this is like the turnout and everything is about exactly what I would expect, right? I put on these kind of events, right? And you beat your head against the wall and, you know, you lose money and it's never quite as good as you want and et cetera, et cetera. So I can see those guys being thin-skinned and sensitive about that. Once you begin to break the seal on how wonderful this event was, right? Because they poured a lot of, they poured a lot of sweat into it. They feel like they're on the line and they feel like you're ribbing them about it. So that's, I think, why they're probably...
Yeah, you shit on their thing. You shit on their nice thing, yeah, like what Dave is saying.
I'm sorry for shitting on your nice thing. I had a great time. Everybody I met was nice.
It's not your problem. It's their problem because they're being thin-skinned assholes about it.
So I was painting the other day, the day after Matt and Dad, and I got a text from BJ Cramp.
Had he heard the Matt and Dad show?
Yes.
Did it inflame everything? Did it make it worse?
Yeah, I said, dude, this is over. I don't want to talk about this anymore. And he goes, can I come on your show and say my side of the story? And I said, no, this is over. At this point, I think listeners will find it boring. And I said, but if you want to leave an audio comment, you can, and I will play it on the show. So he left an audio comment, and I figured I would not waste Rock and Roll Geek Friends' time with it.
But you will waste Matt and Dad friends with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Are we going to play it now?
Is that okay?
So you said you're not going to play it on the varsity show, but the junior varsity, sure.
No,
why not?
I just figured since he's referring to what was said on Matt and Dad, I figured it might be.
Does BJ Cramp? So I'm going to assume BJ Cramp will also listen to this. Does BJ Cramp know I at least was deliberately baiting him and goading him?
He's probably going to. Listen to the Rock and Roll Geek Show, but I'm not sure when I'm going to get time to post because I got a Butler's gig on Friday and I'm leaving from the Butler's gig for a 4.5 hour drive up to Shelter Cove for a fishing tournament. So I'm not going to have time to do a show because Thursday is the only night I'm going to have to sleep because I have band practice tomorrow and I have band practice on Wednesday. So
see now the wisdom of letting me say all the mean shit. And you just being above it all, this could have been different. I could have been the one ripping into BJ, and then I could be the dick, and you could be the nice guy.
One thing I noticed on the last show, which was highly entertaining, I thought, and it was so great to hear Jasper's voice. I loved having Jasper on. It made me feel so good to have Jasper on. Anyway, I noticed that I say, by the way, all the time. So
I noticed... So I had a great time. I actually listened to both of the last two shows today. That's a lot of Matt and Dad, by the way. And what I did notice about Jasper is the second Jasper came on, Jasper was in control of the show. Did you notice that? He controlled the pacing. He controlled the topic. If we say, no. Like, Jasper, man, he is the traffic cop when he's on the show.
I like Jasper. I'll go far as to say I love Jasper. I love you too, Dave Slosser, but I love Jeff.
Well, I love you, Michael Bowen.
And I also love Chiaki, and Chiaki's in the chat room. Not only did BJ leave me an audio comment, somebody contacted Chiaki about the stupid podcast expo.
Now, whoever did that is a dick, because it's not Chiaki's problem.
Exactly. By the way,
now you're just trying to get everybody that knows you riled up. That's just a dick move by someone being a dick.
By the way, that Matt Anthony hot sauce has a very nice aftertaste. It has heat. It has some heat, and it's a little bit fiery on the lips, but it has a good taste to it.
Is there going to be fire in the hole?
No, I don't think I'm going to have to blast. By the way, I'm drinking a Fine Tecate in a camo Yeti knockoff.
From Walmart, of course?
Yes. I got this on the East Coast.
I am drinking a Fine Sweetwater 420 in the Thermos Yeti knockoff.
So are you affected by the hurricane?
We're in the very edge of what's getting the weather system. So no real strong winds, but we are getting bad rain and it's flooding here.
What is that beer in the can?
Sweetwater 420, American Pale Ale.
Why do they call why do they call it 420? Is it pot?
Because it gets you stoned as shit, motherfucker.
There's some of that Morning Zoo format right there.
I don't know why they call it 420. I think it's just, I don't know.
So yeah, I don't like my friends getting pulled into this bullshit.
So can we say who pulled them in? Was it BJ Cramp?
No, it was Chris. It was Chris Sinza.
Now why Chiaki didn't go to the show? Chiaki's not your agent.
I think he was trying to tell Chiaki not to be my friend.
We've gone after somebody dissatisfied with a transaction into just weird shit.
It's a tired topic, but I do owe BJ the
let's play it. The respect. And by the way, Michael Butler, I just called you Michael Anthony. Take the high road on this one. Let me say anything mean.
I owe BJ the respect to play his audio comment and let him say his side of things. I still do not think I was an asshole, but maybe your mind might be changed by BJ.
Your case, BJ. Okay. I'm gonna say nothing. Let BJ roll, no interruptions. How about that?
All right, and I will probably interrupt then. All right.
Hey, Michael Butler, it's your arch nemesis BJ Cramp, and this is my rebuttal.
Hello, BJ. All
right. If that is your name.
Or my rebuttal.
Oh, okay. Let me rewind it. Shut up.
Hey, Michael Butler, it's your arch nemesis BJ Cramp, and this is my rebuttal. Or my rebuttal, if you will, because I know how much you love jokes, especially when delivered by podcasters.
Exactly.
First off, have I ever listened to your show? Yes.
Okay, I didn't say you didn't listen. But maybe if you're the one who sent me out there and paid my way out there, all right, well, then you should know what my show is about. Okay.
I've been listening to your show for at least 12 years. I used to be Dignan on your message board way back. I think Fernie firing you live on the air was perhaps the greatest moment ever on any podcast. And yes, I know that was on Good Clean Fun, not the Rock and Roll Geek Show. But yes, I have listened to your show for a long time.
Okay, then you should know I make fun of podcasters. That's one of the things that happens, especially on Good Clean Fun and Mad at Dad. But it's okay. It's all the fun that is made of podcasters is done in the spirit of fun.
And we are also the butt of the joke.
I thought you were going to keep your mouth shut. All right.
You've already interrupted, motherfucker. Asshole.
I know this is all kind of silly at this point,
it's beyond silly, BJ. Come on. I consider you a friend. I have no hard feelings against Chris. I would like for Chris to be my friend, too, but I don't think he wants to be my friend, but that's okay. If he would be my friend, I would love to be his friend. I talked to him. I talked to Chris so many times, and we even talked about the tip show, and I thought everything was great, but okay, anyway.
Clarify some things. Because your entire rant or rants revolved around your own misconceptions and various falsehoods. So
first of all, I had no misconceptions, and I don't think I said anything that was not true, but I guess I'm going to be corrected.
like I said, I'd like to clarify things, but I'll try to keep it short. Yes. Feel free to have a conversation with this recording. The Classic Metal Show guys would love that.
I think I will.
Your buddy Neely also shit on the Expo, so you guys have
I did not shit on the Expo. Dave Slusher, did I shit on the Expo?
No, this is BJ Cramp. Now, seriously, BJ, I listened. I'm telling you, I listened to the show that made you mad with a fine-tooth comb, trying to find out what could have made you mad. I am going to need to see the paperwork on what needs on what's making you mad. You're going to have to be – we'll see if you do this in the audio comment. You need to be very specific about what's bugging you because no one knows.
You're a little bit loud too, by the way.
I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm getting worked up.
Common,
I cannot tell. I cannot tell why BJ Cramp is mad. And so here we are in a position of Michael Butler apologizing for something, and we don't know what we're apologizing for.
And after this audio comment, this topic is, I promise everybody, this topic is officially over. Except for me on the Rock and Roll Geek Show, probably will say a running gag about being banned from the rock podcast community. But okay, whatever.
So, like I said, I'd like to clarify things, but I'll try to keep it short. Feel free to have a conversation with this recording. The Classic Metal Show guys would love that. Your buddy Neely also shit on the Expo, so you guys have that in common. Maybe you can be friends now. First off, I want to address the pre-party.
That was a dig. That was a put down to me, but I can take it.
Oh, Friday night with Denman and the Tip, you said all the podcasters left early. False. I don't know who you're talking about. I went to the show with Brian Sword, Greg Renoff, Joe Roiland, and Henny Mielke. We stayed for the entire show.
Okay, I did not see you, but I think I talked to you outside of the part where you had to pay to get in. Outside the by one of the booths. But if you were there, I was probably up front watching the band, so I'm probably wrong, but I was paying attention to the band. So I didn't see any podcasters when I was leaving, but it doesn't matter. Really doesn't. But I know that I did not see any of the Kiss podcast guys. I know I did not see the Cobras and Fires guys. I did not see any podcast. I did not see any fat dudes.
And let's be clear. This is not the hill anyone's going to die on. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Who cares if anybody was there or not?
To see both bands. In fact, all of us bought Denman's CD. Lee McCormick was there with us. And, of course, Chris Sinzak and Aaron Camaro were obviously there.
I saw Chris there. I did talk to Chris. He was there. Of course, he's the one put on the show. So,
whole show, I'm not sure who else was there, but this concept that all the podcasters left early and none of us paid to get in is a complete and utter false.
Did I say nobody paid to get in? Okay, whatever.
But speaking of that show,
that is the most minor point, BJ.
Exactly, yes.
You at that
so you got me on that one, BJ.
Got him on something that doesn't matter one fucking shit either way. You win.
Is
that a point.
Complete and utter falsehood. Speaking of that show at the Cobra, I approached you at that show.
Yes.
And my impression of you was that you were in a really bad mood. All you said to me was that you were going to be sitting there staring at the wall all day the next day.
BJ came up to me and said, how do you think this event is going to go tomorrow? And I said, I think I'm going to be sitting there staring at the wall. Meaning that I am such a loser and that nobody likes, I'm going to be sitting there by myself staring at the wall. Not putting down anybody else, but putting down myself.
And by the way, our good friend Michael Butler here, socially awkward, right? Socially awkward,
I'm beyond,
resting bitch face, right?
I am beyond socially awkward. I am a social fucking retard. And
when you and I hang out, if I didn't know you liked me, so in BJ's defense, you are hard to read. If you're not been around Michael Butler in person a lot, you're hard to read, right?
I'm very shy and introverted, and it comes off as me being in a bad mood. But I was in a great mood.
So if he's making the assumption that like all the social cues of a normal person are in play here, then you're really wrong because Michael Butler, not a normal person. All the social cues that you are expecting, that thinks he's better than everyone else, thinks he's done it, looks like he's having a bad time. That is, those are, in the poker world, those are false tells, my brother.
Chris Del Grande in the chat room can confirm that I come off as an asshole in person.
He's got Tourette's. He's socially awkward. He's shy.
Chris Del Grande took me to see UFO, and I said about two words because I'm socially retarded, but I apologize. Chris, and I have a slight echo, Dave Slusher. So can you do something about that?
Let me work on that.
Okay. All right.
And you did not say it in a optimistic tone. So I don't. Maybe that was just your demeanor, and you talk about how you're shy and whatever.
That's
but
right.
You seem like you were in a shit mood.
I was in a fantastic mood. I had a blast.
Not off.
Excuse
just
me. I was not dancing and partying and jumping on tables, but I had a good time. Really,
this
good
is what
time.
I'm saying right there. Is BJ social? You're working off an erroneous assumption of social cues. Those are not in play. So let us rest that topic. The defense rests on that one.
Okay.
So I wasn't surprised when you were in a shit mood Saturday. To me, Friday night,
the only thing I was in a shit mood about was the first hour that I was there, which we went over.
I seem excited in the slightest about going to the expo.
So
here's what happened at the expo. There were plenty of tables. We had enough tables.
You hear that? He had enough tables. So where was my table?
We're folded and stacked against the wall. There were plenty of tables. The issue was space. We did not have enough space for all the people and tables.
Okay, so there wasn't enough space for all the tables. Even though we all had assigned tables, there wasn't enough space for all these tables. Okay.
Chairs, etc. A drawing or a diagram won't necessarily translate perfectly to reality once you're in the room.
But if everybody's name is on their tables at that diagram and there's not enough space, shouldn't I still be where the diagram is, Dave Slusher?
That's what I would assume, but, you know. Or somebody who has extra tables could be a brother and give some up.
But here's the real issue. You got there, you arrived at the venue 2 hours after everyone else.
Okay.
Before you got there, we had already picked up and moved everything and added more tables. You were not.
Did anyone communicate to Michael Butler? By the way, we're starting at 11. Be there at 9. Did you get that memo, Michael Butler?
Well, apparently the memo was on the. Well, he's going to tell you.
As okay. Looking for table space, it was a mess. Yes, it was a mess. You were just one of the last podcasters looking for space. We had a Facebook planning page, which you were on.
Which I did not see.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let him finish. Okay. I'm going to let him finish.
On that page, it was discussed over and over that we could enter the venue anytime after 8 o'clock. That does not mean you had to be there at 8 o'clock, but it was very clearly posted on the Facebook page that the doors to the venue opened at 10 o'clock for the early bird record shoppers and at 11 o'clock for the general public.
Okay. So I didn't think I needed to be. First of all, I did not see this post because I stopped looking at the Facebook planning page when about 10 podcasters in a row were promoting their own podcast episodes. It became a promo for your podcast group, and I stopped reading it because I got tired of looking at everybody promoting their episodes and saying, okay. I'm coming soon, I'll be there soon. I must have missed that post because I did not see that post because I stopped looking at the Facebook planning page.
All right, I'm scoring this one for BJ.
Okay. So if
there was not a thing that said, you need to be here at X time to set up, which he's saying doors opened at 10 for the record shoppers, which you're not involved with the record shoppers. You're not a record dealer. So if they're saying the doors open at X time, unless they say be here to set up at this time, then you don't get to play that card, right?
And unless you say be there or don't have a table.
Right. If it was, he said you got there 2 hours after everybody else, but if nobody said be there at 8:45, then how would you know to be there at 8:45?
It was, you can be there at 8 o'clock. I figured I had a table, even if I did not see this post. But if I did see the post, I still would have said.
You don't have banners to set up. You don't have, you know,
I have to do is set up my microphone and throw my pics and stickers on the table, and I'll be ready to go. And nobody's there to see me anyway, is what I figured. Nobody cares if I'm there on time. Who cares if I show up 15 minutes before 11 o'clock.
So I think probably if they want you to be there at a specific time, they need to tell you, but I'm still scoring this for BJ.
Okay. All right.
Let's see. Well, if our pal Butler did not look at the post, then okay. You win this one, BJ.
It was also made clear over and over that the first live podcast would hit the stage at 11 o'clock.
And how does that affect me being having to be there in order to get a table?
All show was beginning at 11.
Okay.
So when you say you arrived at 10:45, we had moved way beyond the table issue. And we were preparing for the live show to begin and the people to be coming through the door.
Again, if my name was on a table, why didn't I have a table? Because I showed up late and you snooze, you lose a table? Didn't everybody know who was supposed to sit where on the tables?
If you're at a comic convention and you have a table, it does not matter when you get there. You got a table. And, you know, this happens at Heroes Con, right? Not everybody is there at the when doors open. Some of the artists get there later. Some of the artists stroll in an hour or two later than that, right? So that doesn't – this assertion that, well, the doors open at 11, you got to be there. Surely you know that means you'd be there at 9. That does not hold to me. I wouldn't have known to be there at 9 if the doors open at 11, even if the early birds come in at 10. If you want me there at a specific time, tell me clearly to be there at a specific time. Otherwise, I'll make my own best guess.
Had I known that if I was not there in time, I would lose a table, I would have gotten there early. But I did not know that. I just assumed that everybody had their own table and it didn't matter if I showed up 15 minutes before the thing started. So I guess I'm wrong in that.
I would not have made any different assumption than you on that. Although I would have been there earlier because I'm not a slacker bastard like you.
Yeah, I should have gotten there early. You're right.
Whole but event still. Was just about to launch. So here's the thing we were guilty of. We didn't notice that you weren't there. I guess there was a lot going on when you arrived. Yes, there wasn't enough space. It was a mess, but this was the first time we ever did this. And from my point of view, you obviously could have been more understanding and forgiving of this. You said you felt disrespected. You were not disrespected. It had nothing to do with you specifically. There was no reason for you to take it personally. There were a lot of logistical details to be worked out. So you could have been more understanding.
I should have been more understanding when there was no table for me. Or as a matter of fact, there wasn't even no space for me.
I told you the story of the ballroom in India, right?
No.
The setup of the ballroom. When we went in there and the guys in the ballroom in India, you know, like we're doing a classroom, right? And they had all these round tables. And I said, well, the round tables aren't going to work, guys, because it means there's a lot of dead space and half the people have their back to the presentation. This doesn't make sense. And the guys in India assured me that you can fit more people in there with round tables than rectangular tables. I'm like, there's no fucking way, guys. This just geometrically doesn't work. And what we did was they finally, to try to shut me up, we went out and we measured with the tables, right? They set the tables down and we counted off how many tables would fit in there. And lo and behold, your boy Slusher is right. We could fit 50% more people in there with the rectangular tables, right? You can take the tables and measure it out. This is what I'm saying is you can plan out this whole idea of we didn't know because we hadn't set the space up. You can figure that out.
So I guess
this is
determinable. I snoozed, so I didn't have a table. Okay, so that's fine. I didn't have a table. And I got over it once Chris got me a table. I was fine.
I feel for Chris, right? I understand an organizer is sick of everybody about 2 hours into anything.
Went up to Chris and said, Chris, I'm sorry for being upset. Thank you for finding me a table. I really appreciate it. I personally walked up to Chris and told him that, okay?
When I organized our conference here in Myrtle Beach, there was a point where I just went into the bathroom and went into a stall and shut the stall and sat down for about 5 or 10 minutes. Like, I just don't want to talk to anybody right now. You can all leave me alone. Give me a minute. I'm going to come back out. So I understand that feeling, but still, it's still on you. That's why you feel like that, because it's all on you.
Okay.
Definitely shouldn't have taken it personally. We were doing our best.
I know you did your best.
We covered your travel and your accommodations.
And I thanked Chris over and over. As a matter of fact, I thanked you too, BJ. As a matter of fact, I also said something to BJ about, I asked him who, if he knew, if they had a list of the people who donated what, and I said, don't worry about going out of your way to find out because I know you have enough on your plate, so I don't want to bother you.
Yes, we dropped the ball on table space, and for that
it's no big deal. I got a table.
Apologize profusely. But I will also say, your lack of a table when you arrived, I don't think has anything to do with what was said on your episode.
You're absolutely right. It had nothing to do with what was said on my episode.
That made us upset. That's
please tell us what
the only
that is,
complaint you really had. So it was your excuse or a distraction to go on and on and on about not having a table when it really had nothing to do with
I never went on and on and on about not having a table, only on the Mad at Dad. Never said it on the show, but of course you haven't heard every episode yet.
Said on your show that made us upset, in my opinion.
Okay.
You kept saying that Ken Mills had four tables. This is utterly false.
No, Ken Mills had three tables.
Ken Mills had two tables.
No, you are absolutely wrong. I counted them. He had three tables. There was a backdrop in front of each table. Cheap Talk, Kiss Room, whatever his Kiss show is, and the Monkees podcast. Three tables. I saw them.
Four.
But regardless, even if Chris had two tables, even if Ken had two tables...
There were three other people with Ken from those podcasts.
No, the only people who were sitting with Ken was one girl. I was watching. I was right diagonally across from Ken. Him and a girl and you were sitting at those three tables.
At the two tables with him, Gary, Christine, and Courtney. I shared a table with Greg Renoff. So Ken had two tables. Me and Greg Renoff had a table.
I wish I could have shared a table with Greg Renoff because that guy was a cool guy.
The expo was fully...
I wish I could have shared a table with you, BJ. I wish I could have shared a table with Ken Mills.
You wish you could have shared a table with anyone. Because you would have had a table.
Yes.
You tried to share a table with that one asshole who said, this ain't going to work.
To make a profit.
By the way, it was Dave Slusher who called him an asshole, not me.
I called that dude an asshole.
Shared a table with Greg Renoff. So Ken had two tables. Me and Greg Renoff had a table. The expo was fully funded. We never intended to make a profit. No profit motive.
When did I say that? When did I say there was a profit motive?
We just wanted it funded. The GoFundMe exceeded its goal of $10,000. The vendor tables sold out. We did not lose money.
Did I say that?
I said that they would lose money. Oh, okay. I said they were losing money. Oh, okay. So that's on me. In Mad at Dev, not in your show.
Okay.
Tables sold out. We did not lose money. You said 70 people attended. False. Over the course of the day, 250 to 300 people cycled through the venue.
Okay, that's
not
great.
Not including the guests and all these lame-ass podcasts.
That's great. I stand corrected. I'm just going by what I saw sitting in the audience, which it doesn't matter. I'm glad that that many people came in. I think it's great. I want that thing to succeed. I don't want anything to, trust me, dude. Or excuse me, dude. Trust me, BJ. BJ! All right.
If that's your name.
I wanted the thing to succeed, okay? All I was doing was, I don't know what I did.
And all the pissiness about that was from me, not Michael Butler. It was from me.
They're not
funny.
Let's be
honest with that.
You meant to or not, you portrayed the expo as really lame.
Well, I did not mean to.
That we all thought we were stars.
I did not say you all thought you were stars. I think I said we all think we are stars. But I definitely did not say BJ Cramp thinks he's a star.
And we're saying nothing different. By the way, Michael Butler and I went to podcast expos in California. And you went to the one in Vegas, right?
Yes.
And that is not any different dynamic than that, right? Nature of the beast.
I'm going by what I heard on that round table that I was on that I said two words where guys said, we can't wait to meet our fans. We're going to be signing autographs for our fans and selling merch.
Standing around waiting to be recognized. You made it sound like a stupid event.
Well,
this is BJ. This is you reading into it.
I did not mean it to come out as it was a stupid event. So
that is not, I think, what that's definitely not what he said. And I don't think it's what anybody would interpret that wasn't sensitive about it.
That is how you represented the expo to whoever might end up listening. No one was thin skinned. I didn't feel.
Oh, yes.
I think we can. We got to see the paperwork on that, brother. You're mad about a podcast that we cannot find the thing that made you mad about. So that's thin skin to me.
And again, who gives a fuck what Michael Butler says on his lame Rock and Roll Geek Show podcast? You have to be thin-skinned if you're offended by anything that this stupid little idiot says in his little podcast.
The other thing, we are actually complicating this because it's now impossible to tell if, unless he's really specific, is he mad about a thing we said on Mad at Dad or around that original show that made everyone mad.
The original show.
So now we don't know.
I really want this to be over.
Insulted by what you said because it wasn't remotely accurate. I don't think I'm a star. I never expected to sign a fucking autograph.
I never said, wasn't you that said it, BJ? It was some other guys who were on that show, and I don't remember their names because I wasn't really listening. I was walking the streets of New York with my buddies.
I don't care if you say that about me.
Didn't say it about you. Didn't say it about you. Didn't say it about Chris Sinzak.
You portray the expo in a negative light
Did not mean to portray it in a negative light.
The most basic idea for the expo was for all the podcasters, most of whom have become friends.
Guess who was not friends with them? Other than you and Ken Mills.
Line. To get together in person and hang out. That was the impetus of the whole thing. And I know you don't care about being friends with us or hanging out. That's fine.
I did hang out with you. I wanted to hang out with. I did hang out with you.
He considers himself your friend.
Maybe, yeah, yes, maybe since I've been a longtime listener to your show, I should have known that you were going to come there and hate everyone and talk.
I didn't hate anybody.
Maybe I should have been able to anticipate that. And I guess that's my fault. The other motivation.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of passive aggressive, it's your fault for thinking about sending me out to this thing. Because you should have known that I was an asshole.
Of the expo is just to celebrate what we do, which is a fun hobby of doing podcasts and
that's
being
right.
big fans
that's
of rock
right.
and roll
that's
music,
right.
or just big fans of music.
That's right. Hence, no need to say, I'm going to be selling jerk socks, I'm going to be signing autographs for my fans, this and that. I don't care. You want to sign autographs for your fans, that's fine. But be prepared for some idiot podcaster to be in the other room making fun of people who are going to be signing autographs for their fans.
So it was just about that. It was about being a big fan of music, basically. So what bummed me out about your episode with your douchebag listener
there you go.
Was that you made the event sound lame, and it wasn't lame. It was really cool and fun, and we wanted...
And I said, I'm having fun at this thing.
I did not hear that, BJ Cramp. I listened to the thing extremely carefully, knowing you were mad about it. I did not hear that.
Again, and you making it sound lame won't help us do it again. It's not going to help. And that's it. No one was thin-skinned. You seem to be...
Well, you will get back at me when you have one next year and do not invite me. And you'll be all joking about, we're so glad that that asshole is not here this time.
Sabotaging something we worked our asses off to make...
Sabotaging? Okay.
Reality. And something we
I know. I'm going to go there and sabotage this thing. That was my part of my master plan.
Enjoyed. And
I'm going to spit in the face of people who paid my way to come out there and sabotage something.
That's it. No one was thin-skinned.
Oh, yes, you
were. You seem to be sabotaging something we worked our asses off to make a reality and something we really enjoyed. And then you put this negative spin on it. And it bummed us out. And that's all. Nobody was mad you didn't go on other podcasts.
Well, now you see the real me. I'm an asshole.
Session was really fun, but no one was mad that you ditched on it. You kept saying I called you an asshole. I never called you an asshole. I never called you any names. I speculated you might be bipolar. I apologize. I saw a variety of personalities come out.
No, you saw one personality.
I also did not know you were fishing when I sent you that message. I sent you a message because I was bummed out by the whole situation, not because I was mad, not to call you an asshole, and I didn't know you were fishing. You know, Facebook messages, they just sit there. You can read and respond at your leisure, so you didn't have to read it on the kayak. I laughed the whole time listening.
In all honesty, I was so upset about you guys being upset about what I said. It upset me so bad, it almost ruined my vacation, and I wanted it to be over so bad. I even apologized. I even made a douchebag out of myself, did some lame-ass fucking podcast in the woods, groveling like a little fucking baby, and you guys did not accept my apology. And when somebody doesn't accept my apology, you can suck my dick.
I'll do that, honey.
No, my wife's going to suck my dick. All right.
That big comedy from Tina.
Sweetie, are you still talking about that?
At it, Dad.
Well, yeah, go say that again. Go ahead, say that again.
Don't you think it's kind of getting a little old? Where is people still talking about
you it? Think it might be getting a little old? Yeah, I think it's getting a little old.
Okay. By a little old, you mean extremely old.
And you know what? I can suck your dick for you. That's okay.
There you go. All right.
I can enjoy a butt.
I don't know where to go from here. Oh, no. Tina Butler just saved the show.
Let me know when you're done.
It's going to be a while.
There's a minute and a half left of his comment. So.
Let's just get through this.
Okay.
Train wreck as much as anyone.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Your personalities come out. I also did not know you were fishing when I sent you that message.
Okay.
I sent you a message
Rewound it too far.
You know, Facebook messages, they just sit there. You can read and respond at your leisure, so you didn't have to read it on the kayak.
I didn't have to. I could have ignored it.
I laughed
the
whole time listening to Mad at Dad. I can enjoy a Butler train wreck as much as anyone, and it was hilarious to hear you yelling at me. But you didn't have your facts straight, and you misrepresented everything.
There you go.
So I figured I would send you this to clarify things. Hopefully, maybe clarify things. Let's do another cheap talk soon. Ken Mills never gets mad at anyone, so no worries there.
I find it. I've been around other...
Okay, here you go. Here's the proof. Okay.
No worries there.
I find it. I've been around other podcast conventions or conventions where podcasts, and I never get along with these guys because I think most of them take themselves way too seriously.
They think that they're stars.
Yes.
We're gonna sit in the podcast in the Rockin' Pod Expo, and our fans are gonna be here. And there's gonna be so many fans here. I'm gonna be signing autographs.
Yeah, charge for them. $5 an autograph. You know, sign
and
up.
And then what it turns out is everybody's sitting around wondering, hoping they're gonna be recognized. I didn't know that I said anything bad about this thing because, first of all, I want to make it completely clear that I had a blast at this Rock and Pod Expo. There you go. You too can leave.
Was
it
that what, did BJ edit those or you did that?
He did that. All right. This topic is over. I will not bring it up again. It is so fucking old and tired. I am done.
If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve.
All right. Since we're on voicemails, I'm going to do one more voicemail, okay? This was sent to Chiaki. This is not about the Rock and Pod Expo, which, by the way, I had a great time at. Did I say that?
It was
that
a good
already?
Expo, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic expo. I had a good time.
By the way, hey, so before, the very last thing. If they ask you back, would you go?
Fuck yeah, I'd go back.
BJ, he's fine with it. Are you fine with it? Let's test your mettle. Everyone's fine with it. How about hatchet buried? Everyone's fine. Misunderstanding. Let's do it again next year.
I won't be invited back.
I'm just saying. No one's met. Everyone's saying that they're not mad, so no one's mad. So let's just do it again next year. Don't use a normal person's social cues on Butler. That's all I ask of you, BJ.
I have a feeling that if the classic metal guys would have said yes, and if Dean Del Rey would have said yes, and if whoever else they asked would have said yes, I wouldn't have been invited, in all honesty.
Who cares?
I think I was on the bottom of the list.
Any point in speculating that?
No.
You went. You had a good time. It was fun.
Had a great time.
If invited again, you will go back again.
Had a great time. Love Nashville. Love the show. Chris put on a great pre-show. I did not make it to Raven. The pre-show party was great. The actual event was great. Had a good time. There were some cool vendors there. Met some great people. The guy with the Hustle podcast was great. Greg Renoff is great.
Let's call me out. I made a factual error in Mad at Dad. I said they lost money. They won't do it again. That was me speculating. I was wrong.
And I told you.
They funded it, and they had enough people, and everything was fine.
I told you that they made the funding. I told you they went over their funding.
Yeah, fine.
All right, this topic's over, BJ.
All right, so there you have it. Nothing really resolved, but I hope it was entertaining to listen to. I know I was entertained listening to all of that. If you got a kick out of it, go check out episode number 31 of the podcast when I had Michael Butler on for the first time. He also did a No Shame episode with me, but on episode 31, I actually play the clips of when he was fired from Jet Boy live on Good Clean Fun, and also when he had the podcast War with the Classic Metal Show, where they were talking about him and playing him and talking about it on their show, and then he played them playing him, talking about him on his show, and then they played him playing them, talking about him on their show, and it went back and forth, and it was very entertaining, and I played some great clips from that on episode number 31. You know, like I said, nothing was resolved. They still don't seem to understand exactly why we were upset, and they still have some of the facts wrong. But like Michael said, the topic's over. It's over, and I told him I was going to do this episode, and he said, fine, he has a sense of humor, which I guess was implying that I don't have a sense of humor, because when he said that we all thought we were cool, and we were going to be signing autographs, and we were standing around waiting to be recognized, and he made the expo seem like this stupid, lame event, I guess I was supposed to have a sense of humor about that. But like I told Chris Sinzak, I know how brave he was to put this on, and I know how much he sacrificed, how much time and energy and stress. And, you know, I tried to do my part and I did some of the work, but Chris did a lot more than I did. It was a risk to a certain extent. You know, we wanted to eliminate risk by doing the GoFundMe and making sure we had enough money to cover it. We weren't going into this hoping we wouldn't lose money. The plan was to not risk losing money, and we didn't lose money. We funded the event. It wasn't for a profit. But we flew all these podcasters in. We put them up at a hotel. You know, we made this thing happen. And there was a lot of effort and logistical details that went into it. And then Michael shows up 15 minutes before the first live show goes on stage and freaks out that he doesn't have a table. And we didn't have space for the tables. And we had already been dealing with that. And the diagram he talks about where he was supposed to have a reserve spot, that was out the window because we didn't have enough space. It didn't translate to the reality. And it all boils down to this. This was the first time we did it. First time learning experience. The end. We learned. And really, the biggest hiccup we had was the space issue. We stayed on schedule. The event went off pretty damn smoothly. We're probably going to look for a different venue for next year because of issues we had. But overall, the event was a great success. Even Michael said that. And the one problem was the space issue, which he went on and on and on about because he didn't have a table at first. We worked it out. And, you know, it won't happen again. We learned from this. All we could do was put the event on and see what happened. And that's what we did. And now we know what happened. And it was a joyful experience for most of us. If you ask anyone who was there, they'll say Michael Butler had a bad look on his face most of the time. And Dave Slusher said, you know, Michael has a bitch resting face or whatever Dave said. You know, Michael said he's socially awkward. I know about being socially awkward. So fine. he felt uncomfortable or out of place, whatever he wants to say. And, you know, he's judgmental about this idea that somebody said, you know, their fans were going to be there. Well, the Rock and Metal Combat guys, who I really think Michael is referring to Ian on the Skype episode, the one where he said we were talking about signing autographs, and I played the clip where Ken said that and it was immediately joked out of the room, but Ian probably talked about his fans. Well, Ian and Ralph's fans from Rock and Metal Combat contributed $3,000 to the GoFundMe, and at least four of them drove across the country just to see Ian and Ralph. So they have fans. And Michael Butler is judgmental about them using the word fan and saying they have fans. Whatever. You know, it's all a bunch of bullshit. The Expo was great fun, a great success. Just friendship and camaraderie. And, you know, if you've listened to any of the other podcasts besides Michael Butler that came out of the Expo, everyone loved it. Just loved it. So it's unfortunate that this negativity resulted from it as well. But hopefully you enjoyed this episode and were entertained. And now my outro is going on too long. The intro went on too long. The outro is going on too long. You know, this is going to be the first ever episode of Rock and or Roll where I don't play a single song. Try to do everything on the podcast. So for once, why don't we do one with no songs? So hope you enjoyed this, and thanks for listening.
I'll be back.